Welcome to the Loosen Up Your Painting podcast, the podcast for creatives looking to get inspiration, tips, and advice on anything to do with art and creativity. If you enjoy creating something, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your host, Malcolm Dewey, a full-time artist at malcolmdeweyfineart.com, and let's begin the show. It's great to be back talking to you about painting again. Today I want to discuss my painting process and see whether that can help you paint more consistently. A good process becomes a powerful habit that gets you producing better work over time. But before I dive into this topic, did you know that I have some excellent free painting courses? You can find them on my website at malcolmdeweyfineart.com. Take a look and start them anytime. Now let's discuss the 8-step painting process. By the way, this process is also great if you struggle to find time to paint with all your other commitments. Also, if you are driven by a need to produce even better paintings, always searching for new techniques and colors, this episode is all about enjoying the creative process and achieving rewarding results, not relying on a magic wand. These days, there always seems to be a promise of an easy fix. Just click to fix. It's easy to think that if you've got a problem, you can just look for an app and quickly fix it. You know the saying, there's an app for that. However, this won't always be the case. Sometimes you need to put in some old-fashioned elbow grease to really find a great solution. Painting is one of those activities. It takes effort and practice, not a quick fix. This episode is not about any quick fix solution. Unfortunately, that isn't possible with painting. The great thing, though, is that the 8-step process is a real lifetime fix that will keep you improving over time. So just how do we master the skill called painting? First of all, don't give up. Improvement is possible. It just requires changing your approach, maybe just a little bit, and also the effort will be worth it, so don't lose heart. Here are the solutions that will lead to success in your creative journey. What you may need is a simplified painting process, and this is how it works. Step 1. Gather information. Start by gathering information from a scene that inspires you. It could be in your backyard, looking up at the sunset or the clouds, or in your neighborhood perhaps, or from a holiday experience. Spend some time taking it all in with your senses and enjoy the moment. Step 2. Assess the scene. This is also related to composition. Before you dive in with your paintbrush, it's important to observe and explore the scene of your painting. Check for big shapes with strong light and dark contrasts. Doing some sketches or a Notan study can help you decide on the mass shape structure. Take tons of photos as well, so you remember all of your findings when getting back to the studio. It's in this process that you initially start creating your masterpiece, even without a paintbrush. Step 3. Start exploring paint colors. Now it's time to try out color. A color study is a simple version of your painting. Just large shapes with no fine details. To keep things manageable, you can limit yourself to a 10 by 12 inch or 6 by 8 inch painting size. Mix the colors and put them down on a panel or mat board. It's all about the color, so not the surface that you're painting on at this stage. Consider the darkness or lightness, the warmth and coolness of each shape in relation to each other. Remember, no details, just shapes. Step 4, when you're ready to start your painting, start blocking in with big shapes. So you've ironed out the composition and now you're ready to start painting. So begin with dark shapes, then move on to the lightest shapes, for example the sky, and then on with the next light. Then mix your middle values carefully. Distant light tends to be cooler, while foregrounds tend to be warmer and more saturated with color. By the end of this process, you'll have your entire canvas covered. so no blank spaces. If things are looking good, you're in a great spot. But if not, take some time to work out where the issue could be. In most cases, it's still about composition problems, so try to iron those out. Okay, once that is done, move on to step 5, which is assessing the values. Once again, take a hard look at your painting and check out the whole painting for what it is. Is something looking but odd? It could just be an adjustment to the values that is needed. Remember, values are the lightness or darkness of shapes. Your drawing's quality is not always the issue. Instead, look at the structure of the lights and darks. This is what makes a painting. One of these light or dark shapes should be dominant in your painting. It could be a dark shadow area or light bright area, but one of those must be dominant and then everything else balances it out. Even a black and white painting can look great based on these light and dark shapes. Remember, black and white photographs used to be the thing and they could look fantastic. So get these lights and darks correct and you'll be great. Step 6, refine the shapes. When you're painting, look out for variations of color within shapes. Think of them as pixels in a digital photo. Many pixels creates a clear image and few pixels makes it look kind of blocky. So whether you want a photorealistic or a loose painterly style, it's entirely up to you. You've just got to work the shapes smaller to get a more realistic look. Try not to overwork your painting. That'll take away the spark of the painting. How you finish the painting is personal for every artist. If adding another brushstroke doesn't add anything else to your work, then you know it's probably done. Step 7, corrections and the light effect. When I paint landscapes, I look for a spark of light in my works. Even the ugly ducklings need some zing. I stand back and assess the painting, occasionally looking at it the next day with fresh eyes. Sometimes I even need to rely on a mirror to catch mistakes in a reflection of the painting. To ensure that the light pops out against the dark shapes, I tend to get my big brush back out to add intensity and drama. In the end, this creates more life in the painting. Step 8, time to stop. When should you stop working on something? Knowing when it is finished is difficult and often comes with experience. You may need to ruin a few paintings before this lesson sinks in. As Leonardo da Vinci said, art is never completed, only abandoned. So letting go of your work can be daunting, but it allows it to stand on its own merits. The final takeaway is persistence and simplicity may seem like opposites, but when it comes to painting, they go hand in hand. Painting can sometimes be a struggle, especially when it comes to sticking to the basics and making each brushstroke purposeful. When frustration sets in, that's usually a sign that you need to take a break. Don't give up. The answers will be there for you the next day when you are rested and ready. Then press on and complete the painting. So that's it. Hopefully this process has been helpful in describing something that's workable for you. You have everything inside of you needed to create something great. Now all you have to do is start and enjoy the process. So that is the 8-step process, and I know painting is not easy, but it's a wonderful struggle which adds purpose to your life. Now you can find a PDF download of this process in the description to this podcast or on my blog. Just look for the article called The 8-Step Painting Process. Okay, it's been great catching up with you today. I'm looking forward to the next episode, so please subscribe to this podcast so we can chat again soon. And by the way, my YouTube channel has hundreds of painting videos as well. Take a look at that for more painting tips and ideas. Until next time, happy painting and cheers for now.